You know, a lot of singer-songwriters, it seems, do their best work earlier in their career. It's almost like the fiery kind of poetry is tied to their youth. Do you feel that as an instrumentalist, you don't share that kind of problem?
Well, I think that what maybe some people don't understand is that when somebody bursts on the scene with one record, like their first or second record, and they get embraced in a big way by an audience, they have a big success, that material is going to be performed by that artist every night on stage all over the world for as long as their career goes. So from the artist's perspective, they're still doing the album. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
They can't not do it. They have to do it. So I have to play, you know, a good amount of songs from Surfing with the Alien every night, and we have. And those songs are fresh in my mind because that's my life. I mean, every time I go on tour, I play half of that record or maybe a third of the record in front of people. So it's not like an old record to me. It is for people who look at the date and go, "Oh, that record came out 20 years ago," you know. So it's not like I've so let's just say that from the emotional side of the performer, they're still doing that. You know what I mean? So when they go to make a new record, they're thinking to themselves, "Well, I'm still doing this, so I should offer up something different." I find it difficult to explain, but it's a very important thing to understand that you know, even if it's just like Aerosmith, you know, they're still doing Dream On. Dream On is still fresh in their creative world. Although, you know, when we think of it, we think about, you know, when we were in high school or something when it came out, or you know what I mean? We have a totally different perspective because we don't play it on stage every night. We're not sitting there reinterpreting it, digging into it, and everything. So the artist is still delivering that freshness every night, that's a very important thing. I think that not the consumer, what am I saying? The concert goer or the record buyer may not realize that. And they may think that the artist did that, and then you know, they haven't thought about it for 20 years. And so why, you know, they often wonder, why don't they just keep doing that, you know? But then what would they play on stage every night? They can't play the same thing every night. You know, 20 songs, you know, you can't play 20 Dream Ons, you can't play 20 Satch Boogies, and it's just like, what are you going to do? So the reality is that we're forced to expand.
You've had a long history with Ibanez guitars. You have your JS 1600, JS 1000, JS 1200, and the JS 1600, that's the silver one, correct?
Right. There's also the JS100 series, low-cost series. Those are actually really good guitars.
Do you have any plans for a new model at any point?
You know, we just finished a good lengthy R&D period where we wound up, as you mentioned before, the 1600 came out this year, which is a sort of an update of the 6, the original JS6
Mm-hmm.
from back around 95. And the 1200 is still one of my favorite guitars and one that's still in the catalog. But we were able to finally get our Surfing with the Alien commemorative guitar out, which looks really great. We've got that great Marvel artwork, and we actually have a 3D Silver Surfer embedded in the front of the guitar.
Wow.
And I'm also right now staring at a prototype for the illustrated JS, I guess it would be, you'd have to say it's the JS1. It's the earliest prototype of the guitar that we came up with, and the one that was famously photographed for the back of the Flying in the Blue Dream record.
Right.
But leading up to that period, you know, I would illustrate with metallic pens every night on the guitar, and by the end of the night, a lot of it would get rubbed off from the performance, and I'd re-illustrate it. And they found lots of photographs, and they put together this really fantastic sort of collage of sort of like the best of all the illustrations, and then hired an artist to meticulously copy the illustrations. And so I'm looking at one right now, and I was handed this prototype at the NAMM show, and I was absolutely floored by it because I looked at it and I thought, how did you guys get a hold of one of my guitars? Because the guy like completely copied my my writing and my scribbling, whatever you want to call it, my illustrating. And this is before I was doing, you know, the very graphically oriented, unusual, you know, alien animal figures. This is when I was really doing just a barrage of squiggles and images on top of images. And it's just pretty stunning looking. So I'm really happy about that, that we've been focusing a lot on the finish, because the JS-1000, I think, reached just a wonderful artistic height, you know, where the wood, the shape of the neck, the frets, the composition of the bar, the pickups, all this stuff has just gotten to this beautiful, completely refined point. And I know, you know, other companies may say, come on, let's add an extra horn, let's make it pointier, let's, you know, let's add this or that or the other thing. And Ibanez has been really great in understanding that I've always wanted to create a classic guitar and not something that was just, you know, a trendy kind of a thing. I've been very happy with it.
I understand that you're coming out with a line of Vox effects pedals this summer.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. This boy, you know, finally being able to tackle that last step in the equation, you know, because I got guitars and I've got PV amps, and but there's this thing I plug into on mm-hmm. the floor, this crazy pedal board, you know, and I love pedals, but I curse them at the same time, because, you know, you find a pedal that does some sound really good, and then you go, well, why did they do that? Why, you know, it should have an extra knob for this, or they should change the value of that. And over the years, I've dealt with some designers, and I've, you know, asked them to go back and, you know, add a filter here or an extra control there. So finally saying, okay, I'm gonna devote myself to carving out time in my life to actually design these pedals, you know, sit down with real engineers and say, let's take the basic distortion that I like and let's finally do it right. Let's finally get to these problems that all guitar players have,
right,
and with these boxes, and let's solve them once and for all. You know, the Vox team really, you know, they stayed in the game, man. They didn't, every time, you know, I would send things back and say, no way, man, you know, this isn't working. They would send more people out to find out exactly what it was, you know. And so in the end, you know, myself and Mike Bradley, Masahiro Lee, and Steve Grinrod, we all crazy guitar players with different styles, all would sit there and play these things for hours and hours and confer on what we were hearing, what we were feeling, our experience with how the thing, you know, looked and functioned. And so we started with the distortion, a thing called the saturator, which will come out very soon.
Okay.
And we'll have a multi-function wah-wah pedal, and we'll have a delay pedal. I've been just looking at controls for that now, which is really great. And then from there, they start to get kind of crazy, and I have to kind of keep quiet about some of the crazier pedal ideas. But we, but I mean, the cool thing is that I think that my experience with the prototypes, using them on the record, using them live here and there, has just been phenomenal. I mean, just the other week, I jumped on stage with Sammy Hagar and Chad Smith. And Michael Anthony at one of Sammy's shows in Vegas at the Palms, and had my prototype box, you know, plugged into the front of the PV Hashtag, and it was amazing sounding, and everyone was coming up to me asking me, man, that guitar sounds amazing, what were you doing, you know? And there on the floor was this crummy little thing, it looks like someone made it in their kitchen, that I quickly unplugged and put in my pocket and said, I'll be taking this with me, you know? It's really great to not only, you know, to have a box that you can call your own, but to know that you can show up, like, at a gig like that and just sort of plug into it and bam, you know, without rehearsing. You can just turn it up and, you know, the guys doing the front of house love it, the audience loves it, the band's looking at you like, man, that sounds great, you know. And that's all our hard work paid off.
So listen, thank you very much for spending some time with me.
You're welcome.
This is Joe Basso for MusicRadar.com, and I've been speaking with Joe Satriani. The new record is called, let me get this right, Professor Satchafunkalus and the Mysterion of Rock, and it comes out in April.
April 1st.
April 1st. And April Joe, 1st. Thank you very much for spending some time with me.
Thanks for having me.